Hey, good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us here on School Spirit. We appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us. We got a very special program today, and it's actually kind of going to kick off a series of episodes for us. Something that is absolutely critical, and we're going to be very deliberate as we go through this discussion the next few weeks. It's all about smart families. And joining us today is Miss Sally Waterfield, who's the program director. And Miss Hillary, I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. I apologize. I'm going to butcher it, but I'll let you deliver that. She's executive director for Smart Families. Ladies, thank you very much for taking some time and joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us. We are absolutely very excited to share information to all of your listeners today and hopefully for a couple of days after this to break down what we believe to be one of the most topics today that parents are facing, not only in this country, but across the world. And so we appreciate the opportunity to try and help those individuals who really need to learn and understand what's going on with technology and children. So thank you.
Well, why don't you take a moment and kind of introduce yourselves and just, a thumbnail of how you got involved with the program itself.
Sure, I can start. Again, my name is Hillary. The last name is Caceres, and I butcher it myself. It's a Spanish last name, so it's actually Casitas. But in any event, this program was introduced to me about 3 years ago when a fellow husband and wife at my children's Catholic school here in Houston, Texas, brought a speaker. Her name is Dr. Crystal Collier, and she's on our website as one of our advisory board members and the author of Know Your Neuro. And she provided an hour-long presentation about the neurological developmental impact of adolescent brains with addictive behavior specializing in technology. So what's going to happen to a child's brain when they're using too much technology? And I remember sitting in that presentation at the time with a fifth-grade daughter and two younger daughters as well. I have three girls in total. And I can just envision my oldest about to fall off this technology cl cliff because I was considering giving her a smartphone. And I just grabbed her by the hair and said, "Oh, we're going to make a U-turn. Not today." And so that husband and wife brought this speaker and followed that presentation up with a series of informal coffee talks at our school and introduced a pledge, where they asked the parents to delay giving children smartphones until after 8th grade. And I just had this gut feeling like this is something I want to be a part of. And so fast forward, that husband and wife were the founders of Smart Families. They were able to first get the program into the Houston Galveston Diocese schools with 18 schools in year one. Year two, we went into 46 schools across Central Texas, Houston, Dallas, and Chicago, including Corpus Christi and Midland. Don't want to leave anybody out. And now we're in our 3rd year of the program, and we are in roughly 112 schools, ranging from Wichita, Kansas City, Richmond, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and again, all throughout Central Texas and Houston, Galveston. So our growth has been exponential. And I think because of that, we're really seeing that parents have the empowerment to make a better decision for their child because they know they're not alone, which is a huge part of what we want to do. So yes, I'm now the executive director, and I'm blessed with the opportunity to try and help fellow parents such as myself.
And you've been with the organization now how long?
It will be 3 years since it started.
Okay. And the couple you're referring to is Brian and Jennifer Kuzma. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, husband and wife, they have founded this organization. And it's funny, if you were to ask Brian, what was the trigger for you to start this? And he kind of laughs and he said, "I was looking around the room and looking at my daughter, and I was thinking, and my son, who are these kids going to marry? What is going on today with kids? Are they going to have that ability to be appropriately social and show empathy?" And the components that come along to technology use is stuff when it comes to the human dignity that's being lost. And it's actually quite simple. He didn't have some, fortunately, he did not have some of the horror stories that we hear about. Something their child thankfully was not a victim of sextortion or cyberbullying, it was truly just looking at humanity and what's happening with children today and wanting more for his children.
Miss Sally, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm Sally Waterfield. I'm the program director, and you can probably tell this is not a native Texas accent. This is a British accent. I'm originally from Manchester in England, but I've called Texas my home for the last 11 years. My background really comes from an education place because I was a teacher in the classroom for 16 years, both in the UK and also here in Houston. And really, my career pivot into this step into this new role at Smart Families was because whilst I was in my classroom, I was seeing really interesting shifts in behavior of my students. And so I was noticing a huge change in emotional regulation, children's focus and attention, just this inability to navigate, just this conflict. And I'd been seeing this pre-COVID. COVID was this perfect storm where we put everybody on devices and things became glaringly obvious, but I'd been seeing this for years prior. And so you'll notice a bit of a theme here because it was during my in-service training that I was visited by Dr. Crystal Collier. So she came and did my in-service teacher training at my school, and she really presented this incredibly compelling neuroscience. And in that moment of listening to her, I thought, this is the missing piece. This neuroscience is the piece that nobody is hearing about, and it is the answer to all of my questions. So her and I became, in fact, I joke, I say I forced her to be my friend because she just had all this great information. I was like, we should be friends, okay? And so I began working with her, developing some elementary curriculum. And it was actually Dr. Collier that introduced me to Brian Kuzma and said, I've heard he's got this vision with this organization. I'd love to introduce the two of you. And so really when Brian and I sat down and I gave him my observations from a teaching perspective and said, this is what I'm seeing in my classroom. And not only am I seeing this change in the students, but what I was also witnessing was this kind of helplessness from the parents. They were seeing it too. They just did not know how to reconnect with these children who were being drawn into the world of YouTube and TikTok videos, and dinner times were changing, and all of these things around them were changing, and nobody knew what to do. And so, kind of naturally, these parents were rolling into the classrooms and saying to the teachers, well, can you help us? Like, what do you think we should do? And I tell a story when I go into schools to present that my real catalyst moment was when I had a parent say, Mrs. Waterfield, please would you ask our child to do this because they don't listen to us, but they do listen to you. And that shift in authority was so convicting for me that I want to be part of helping these parents reclaim back the family that God blessed them with. What can we do? What can we help parents? How can we support them? And so really, with this neuroscience piece that I'd learned from inside the classroom, I have now stepped into this role at Smart Families with the programming and the resources and the research. So my job is to go and find all of the information and all of the research and then create really tangible bits of information that parents can digest. And then most importantly is then apply them to their family. So we don't just want them to hear the science, we want them to take it, convert it into something that's going to be really useful and practical for them. And then what we see from the schools that engage with our program is this incredible just armoring up of families. We see this reconnection. It's just so beautiful to watch. And like Hillary said, truly blessed to be part of this incredible mission and in this huge movement that we're seeing across our great state of Texas and beyond.
I have about 50,000 questions running through my brain here. So I want to kind of be a little deliberate and make sure we're tackling this, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are like, whoa, hold on now. What's going on? So let's kind of give a little thumbnail of or overview of just of the program itself, and then we can dig into some of the whys, the neuroscience.
So here at Smart Families, we're currently a 3-year program. So we contract with your school and we provide education for the main components within a community, and that being the teachers, the parents, and the students. And we believe that the best part to do that is over the course of 3 years, as opposed to just one presentation, perhaps. Research shows it takes about 4 years to completely change a culture within a community. So we want to walk through that change by saturating everybody who's involved. In many of the cases, roughly 95% of our schools are Catholic. So we also want to communicate with your parish. We want to educate individuals who attend the church, but don't send students to the school there. Throughout the year, we like to also break the student presentation down into classroom sizes. And so we'll go in, and as opposed to an assembly, we're going to speak to the children about dopamine, notifications, brain balance, whatever time you use on technology. You also want to go outside. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that part of our program. But the theme for the 3 years is also broken down into year one being the neuroscience. Parents really need to learn in a way that's easily digestible to a parent what is happening to a child's brain. That is the foundation of our program. Year two, we're going to look into executive functioning. The front part of the brain is the last to develop, and that's exactly the part that's being impacted by technology overuse. And so that's where the executive functioning skills are developed. So let's talk about empathy, time management, the ability to pay attention for longer periods of time. So we're going to break all of those skills down in year two, and we're going to give parents, students, and teachers tangible things that they can incorporate in their lives to kind of maybe either correct or get on a better path. And then year three, we're going to look at AI. We know that's a huge topic right now. Technology and AI is not going anywhere, but we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about it from a Catholic moral perspective, and we're going to talk about deep fakes, and we're going to teach kiddos the right way to utilize AI and teachers the right way to utilize it in the classroom versus free and open. Obviously, there's some dangers and moral implications to it that we need to talk about. So that's just basically the 3 year program overview. If your school is currently enrolled in Smart Families, congratulations. We are so glad to have you. If it is not enrolled in Smart Families, there are many things that you can do, and I'm happy to talk about that, or we can break through some other questions first.
No, Sally, anything you want to add into that overview there?
Well, I really just kind of to follow on from what Hillary was saying, the reason really we lead with the neuroscience is because we believe that what our mission embodies about, we want families to engage with technology in a healthy and balanced way. And I know Hillary will go on to explain what some of our key norms are for our within our mission. But one of the reasons we choose to lead with the neuroscience is because it's a very non-threatening educational piece that is truly so interesting for people. We teach all the way down from pre-K up through high school. We have program offerings for whatever developmental level the children are at. And whether we go in and speak to these 3-year-old pre-K students or we're there in front of, a senior in high school, the neuroscience for the students is so incredibly fascinating. And I think that is where we're seeing our biggest trend with this cultural change that we're trying to promote within kind of our communities now, is that the students are recognizing what's going on within their own brains when they're using this technology. And when people know more, you can change what you do. I always say, when you know more, you can do better. And so really what we're doing is using the neuroscience as this springboard into people having conversations and really engaging with our program offerings. And again, I don't feel like we're controversial in any way with any of the content or material that we provide. We feel that the parents, in their heart of hearts, they learn about Smart Families. They often tell us, "Oh, we're so relieved that you're at our school. This is just what we've been wanting to find." And then we teach them the neuroscience, and then we just get this incredible momentum. So, yeah, that's really why year one is this very, very strong focus on the neuroscience, because we believe we're such a unique organization with how we actually go into these schools. We don't wait, for a school to have a crisis, and then what will typically happen is they go running, trying to find the resources and find the speakers. You know, we are preventative. We want to armor up these schools with everything possible. And we really feel that the neuroscience is one of our most unique components that we do provide for all of our families.
Yeah, I think that's a critical point that you are preventative, and you guys are, I mean, arguably the world is kind of shooting behind the duck here. We're reacting to the lockdowns associated to COVID, and I think the world is starting to have their eyes opened about the impact of that the isolation. Whether it was 6 weeks or 6 months or 18 months or however long it was in each particular area, that isolation has created such a tremendous impact on everybody. I mean, from my 89-year-old mother-in-law to our 1-year-old godson, we see it everywhere. So a couple of follow-up questions here. You guys said you're in how many schools now? 118, is that what I heard?
I actually need to look at the exact count. Just the other day, I think we were roughly 115.
Okay.
Part of that expansion, I'd love to just touch upon the fact, since you are a Catholic radio, is that we've been blessed with the diocese, first here in Houston, Galveston, to say, bring your program on. And it not only worked that way because the first school was Catholic, but we honestly believe one of the strong components to our growth is the alignment with the morals and values that coincide with what we're trying to say beyond the neuroscience. Just blends perfectly with Catholicism and Christianity in general. And so we had this tumultuous, exciting, amazing multiplication type of growth, not just addition of a school of diocese, diocese, diocese saying, come to us because of that alignment. And so we've been blessed by it, and we hope to continue going down that path.
So right now, are you guys only in Catholic schools or Christian schools, or are you in public schools as well?
We are not in public yet. We are
Okay.
in secular private and Christian private.
Okay. I think it's going to be interesting now here as we get into year one of no cell phones in the schools here in the state of Texas. This is going to be a very, very interesting school year, I think, for all of our kids, regardless of what school they're in. I think we're gonna see some change.
I'd love to talk. Oh,
Oh,
go
go
ahead,
ahead.
Sarah.
Oh, see, Hillary and I think we're probably tracking along the same place with what we were both going to say. But just from our observations of being within these private Catholic schools for the last 3 years, what we have actually observed with our organization is these Catholic schools are already way ahead of the curve. Many of our Catholic schools have already had these restrictions on phones, have had phone-free campuses for a number of years because they were recognizing this, you know, this threat to this innate human dignity. These children, you know, were losing their abilities to be social with each other. You know, in the cafeterias, it was hard for teachers to identify which students were struggling because everybody was just staring at a screen and during, you know, free periods. And so we've been really excited to go into different schools across Texas and kind of beyond and hear that many of our schools, if they hadn't already implemented a policy change ahead of this Texas law, you know, they were already in the process of doing so because they had recognized what it was doing to the values and those parts of being a Catholic within and raising a Catholic child in a school.
And one of the pieces I'll add that we've heard and are happy to sort of take on as well is that for a parent who's sitting here listening today, who's given their child a smartphone already at whatever age it is, you know, one thing is we're not here to shame them. And we've all needed to really kind of learn about this live. It is playing out in front of us live. And none of us knew that technology was going to do this to our children. We were so excited. We all couldn't wait to get the best of the best for our kids. And so this is a pretty sharp U-turn that we're needing to make as a society and for parents. And so we want to be very clear, you know, if you happen to stumble upon this conversation and you feel it's too late, you know, it's absolutely not too late. You've done nothing wrong, and we just want to help you through this. And so that's just an important piece for us to share with any parent. We can talk about the growth and the change in the communities, and you're not alone, but making sure that everybody is hearing this when we say you're not alone. You're truly, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Full transparency from me as well. So I didn't add at the beginning, but I'm also the parent to three children. I have a 15-year-old son, a 13-year-old son, and a 10-year-old daughter. And honestly, a few years ago, when I was teaching at my school, my son was going to middle school. He was going to be on a different campus to where I was going to be. I handed him a smartphone because at the time I didn't know anything different. You know, it was all of his friends were getting one. You know, I was right in there with the category of parents that hear that those questions. You know, mom, I'm going to be the only one that doesn't have one. In my head, I'm thinking about safety and making sure I know where he is. And so I did exactly what many parents do, and I gave my child a smartphone. Now, once I got immersed in this world and started looking at the research, finding out about the social media platforms and really understanding how they were intentionally designed to hijack children's focus and attention, as well as adults. You know, I can struggle with that part too. I just had to make some adjustments. You know, there were some conversations I had to have with my son. There were some often difficult conversations I had to
Yeah,
have because,
sure.
you know, I had been allowing him kind of free rein on this technology that I did not fully understand. And so now, as part of being a parent, armored up with this knowledge about what was happening with technology, we had to do some of our own U-turns. So I have a lot of compassion and a lot of empathy for parents and kind of what Hillary said, we meet parents where they're at. Whether you are a parent of a young child and you're not even thinking about smartphones, but you know, your child might have access to an iPad, or even your child might play on your smartphone at the dinner table occasionally. If you're out at a restaurant, we hear that frequently. Or those upper elementary parents who are hearing those questions, their child's going to go to middle school and they're saying, well, everybody else is having one and I'm going to have one. And now your child's going to be doing sports at different campuses, you know, all of these things. To those middle and high schoolers who we are very realistic and we understand, many of those probably already have a smartphone. And so what can we do, and what education can we provide you with? What resources and learning that's going to help you safeguard? At that point, we're really looking at safeguarding, and we have lots of information for those parents too.
And I think that's that I'm concerned about my children's safety. I had kids on three different campuses. I had an elementary school and a middle school and a high schooler on three separate campuses all across town. I did the same thing. I was concerned about my young daughter on a school bus by herself, and I gave her a phone. And it's like, okay, you call me or text me or let me know when you get on the bus. You know, I'm at work, mom's at work. And so I think we all marched down that road of, or it was real easy for us to march down that road of, I'm very concerned about my children's safety, and I want to be able, I want to give them the tool to contact me in case they're in trouble at the drop of a hat. And I think there's nothing absolutely, there's, for, like you said, there's nothing wrong with that perspective, obviously, but I don't think any of us really understood the impact of it.
You just nailed one of the most important pieces to smart families. We're talking about smart phones. Those are phones that have internet access. Getting a child a phone that does not have internet access is an amazing gift for a child as early as the age of 9. Teach them how to appropriately text a friend. Start with them texting a nana, a grandpa, an aunt. Do it in a safe space where it can be monitored and they learn. You don't say hello 17 times without a response, right? This is the fun side of it. But the truth is there are amazing devices out there. They're called dumb phones. I don't love the name. We really want to rebrand it here at Smart
Yeah.
Families, and we're going to. But those are wonderful tools to stay in touch with your child. If the volleyball schedule changes after school and you need to get a hold of your kid to tell them, oh my gosh, it doesn't start till 4, no problem. The bell rings at 3:15. Your child can take out that dumb phone that doesn't have Snapchat Instagram, and all the other things we're nervous about. And she can call you or she can text you, and you don't have to worry about at night, what is my kid doing when I go to sleep? Or who has access to them at night when I go to sleep? There's a beautiful example on my principal at my that the, my former principal used to say, parents will spend thousands of dollars putting in the best security systems in their homes. They have every window with a dinger that makes a noise when it opens. Thousands of dollars. Yet at the age of 10, they say, here's a smartphone, go have some fun. You are letting the entire world come right through the door into your child's palm of their hand at 1 o'clock at night. So let's just think for a second. You want to get a hold of your child? Absolutely. I do as well. We all do. Get them a dumb phone. We love so many of the different phones on the market. We're not here to, sponsor one or the other, but just go take a look. They're out there and they're amazing. And I can't recommend them more highly for a parent. We
Emery
actually
just
have.
wrote down, Emery just wrote down the safe phone instead of a
I love
smartphone, a safe
that.
phone. So yeah, you can borrow that phrase.
It come on in. And we've had like 17 names, and we've been voting, and we actually had to put it on pause because we could not agree upon a name here because we care so much. We are so passionate about it. And we actually heard a story. I just want to share one of. We're such a relational organization, and so we really value human connection. And so part of our roles here, and there are a number of us here in our Houston offices, we form these connections with other organizations who are either, supporting the same mission, just doing the research. And there's an organization here in Houston called Elijah Rising, which are an incredible organization. They Christian organization who educate and help rescue women who have been sadly involved with trafficking situations or grooming situations. And because of their work with these survivors, they actually hear very often the stories of these, incredible women and how they've ended up being in these really very dangerous situations. And they attribute it all back to having this full access to a smartphone. And a lady called Dawn, who works there, told us a story recently. She was saying, if you were to take, a 9-year-old little girl and take her into Houston at 3 a.m. and drop her off outside, one of these nightclubs, as horrifying as that sounds, she said statistically, what will is more likely to happen is that an adult will see a child in that place and will walk up to them and say, why are you here? Like, you shouldn't be here. Where's your parent? And so she said, what happens though when in the online world is you have that same 9-year-old child in these places, in these platforms, chatting to, and nobody will ever ask that child, you shouldn't be here. Nobody will try and get them to a place of safety. And I think for us, what we see is that kind of gross underestimation from parents that they believe that because their child is under their roof, with this device in their hand, that they're safe. And actually, what we hear from law enforcement, from organizations like Elijah Rising, is that really is not the case. And so that's why we're huge supporters of alternatives to smartphones, like the dumb phones that Hillary was saying, or the safe phones, as now as we're going to throw that name in the mix, is because it just drastically reduces these opportunities for people to get access to our children, especially when they're alone, under the, in their rooms. Often that's what, we often say, don't let your child have a device in their bedroom, by themselves, trying to navigate this. So yeah, there are so many alternatives out there that can help safeguard.
Critical point there. And we're going to have to put a pin in our conversation here for this episode. And can we get you back next week? I want to really dig into the whys and the neuroscience, because I'm sure that I'm like a lot of our listeners. And the last time anybody talked to me about how my brain works, I was a sophomore in high school, and that was a long time ago. And but we'd like to get into the into some of that if you guys could come back for us.
We would love that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go, folks. So we'll be back next week here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Hope you'll come back, and we'll continue our conversation with Miss Sally and Miss Hillary on smart families here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Y'all have a good week.